Welcome.
Sure.
Welcome to A Course in Miracles again. And Jesus is going to challenge us tonight. It's not misleading what he's going to do. It's not misleading, but it's leading. It's leading. The paragraph we're about to read is going to lead us directly into the hard work in the next paragraph. The paragraph we're about to read is acceptable. I think it's understandable. I think it's regular. You expect the kind of work on a spiritual path that you'll be asked to do in the paragraph we're about to read. The one that follows is really what we come to Course in Miracles for. What we come back to Course in Miracles for. In other words, it's the hard work. It's steep. Steep. So I used to call A Course in Miracles a shortcut. I don't anymore. But if you think about what a shortcut is, it gets you to the same place, but it might be a lot steeper. It's shorter and probably steeper than the common way.
Like jumping off a cliff, huh?
To get to the bottom. Yeah, that's what a shortcut. It could be hard, though, to jump off a cliff. Unless you are prepared and you have a guide and you're offered the right equipment for landing, jumping off a cliff is too fearful for most people as a way to get to the bottom. So that's what we have in front of us tonight. Is the entire section is pointing at this second paragraph that we're going to get to tonight, assuming we get there. It'll be a two-paragraph night, folks, so buckle your seatbelt. Yes, Jacqueline.
You know, we never finished five last week.
Oh, okay. Put it in reverse.
We did, I think I read like three sentences and then we went off everywhere, you know, probably related to it, but the whole rest of the meeting went a lot of other directions. But I don't know if we need to. We might want to just read it and then go to six.
Thank you, Jacqueline. And that's exactly what we'll do. Yeah, I think we did get into it quite deep early last week. That's good. We don't want to miss anything. So let me give the pitch first for tonight's overall meeting that you're going to hit a softball, you know, not maybe it's a hard ball for some people, but not anybody here. Everybody here studied the book a bit. So the pitch, of course, is you've got the wrong idea of what you are. The difficulty is that you have come to know something with your heart and your mind, know something that's not true. This is what has come to lead you to A Course in Miracles, because you have found yourself believing and knowing even something that's not true. And that is that you are a body, that you are in space and time, navigating and struggling for happiness here. And worse, if you try hard enough, you'll get it. But so you know, in all the ways that you can count, that you're a body. You look in the mirror, you wave, waves back. Oh, excellent, that's me. A Course in Miracles calls this out directly as an illusion. An elaborate, powerful, powerful illusion. This is not the sin. The sin is thinking this is all you are. The sin is thinking that your body is the truth of what you are. That's a mistake. That's a mistake that blocks you from everything you actually want. You've come to know something that's not true. A Course in Miracles has come to show you how to let that go, to shift your perception about true and false. Indeed, the biggest miracle in this book is the miracle of what you are in truth, your identity. This is the only miracle that actually counts. You're so drunk on being in that body you're so busy swimming in time and space and money and health and friends and family, the substitutes for love. None of that is a problem. None of that. In fact, it's an adventure and it's wonderful. But you've taken the joy out of it. You've blocked the love that is actually available to you in any circumstance. Whether it's chocolate or murder, there is a beauty everywhere. But you've blocked that by believing that you are your ego and that your ego is the first voice that's got the authority here. And you perhaps are delaying your receipt of spirit, your acknowledgement of the truth of spirit. You say, well, that'll come when I die. Some people say, or that'll come if I finally, you know, get through all the lessons, do them right. Or that'll come if whatever. All of that's in time. Once you're back in time, you must recognize you're back in ego. Now, that's good news and bad news, right? The bad news is you really believe in time. The good news is if you were to somehow come out of time, that means spirit is available now. Out of time, the end of time, must mean now. Doesn't mean death. Doesn't mean an end. And so that's the general first paragraph pitch, is that you have a job to do with A Course in Miracles, and that is to use separation the only proper way, the only thing it's good for. You made separation. Now the Holy Spirit is going to help you use it in the only proper way. The only proper way, the only proper use of separation is indeed to separate yourself from your ego. You do exist. You are an extension of God. You are not what you have made yourself to be. This is the gift you have come for. It's the purpose now. He said, everybody here is on a spiritual path. Everybody here has accepted that there is a light and you're going for it. Because you've accepted that path. Michaeline, welcome. Because you've accepted that path, then everything is available to the Holy Spirit to translate back to light. Everything. I said everything. God is the light in which I see. That's such an amazing short lesson. Properly, it brings tears, I think. You know? So is tonight's. Tonight's reading, tonight's paragraph is such a gift. I mean, it's such a high-level teaching. This is it's practical. It's challenging. It's practical. And it gives you the biggest, it invites you, at least it sets up for you. You know, only halfway through the whole book, so there's more to come. But to put your eyes on the horizon, or to put your eyes on the prize, this is very helpful. This is very helpful in your path. Where are you going? What are you doing with A Course in Miracles, with your spiritual mind training? What are you doing? What is the end goal? Is it just to be happy? It's not a bad goal, of course, happiness. But in my experience, it's not good enough. Happiness. Happiness is wonderful. But I found that I couldn't reach the happiness Course in Miracles talks about with anything in the world. At least not as far as I could achieve. I began to see that I needed what the Course calls vision. in order to remove the blocks of my perfected happiness. A type of joy awoke in me when I had that thought. It was, you know, a type of joy. It was a miracle happened when I shifted my goal of happiness, went up a bit, up the ladder Ross talks about. I thought, wow, now that's something I can keep. I can't keep happiness of the world. But there is a happiness in me, and I'm carrying it. I'm carrying the door to it. And once I began to reach for that, a little light came into me. The Course in Miracles had more meaning still. Each lesson had more to give me as I began to turn inward for the happiness and not outward into the world. Started translating with vision using this eye, everything I see. And my identity was shifting. This is a gift, A Course in Miracles gifts. So I'll let the second paragraph, if we get to it tonight, talk for itself. But the first one, because I'm going to somewhat speed through it, I think everybody here already knows, already has done the work, that you know that the biggest challenge you have is not to be your ego. I think everybody gets it, right? Everybody here gets it. You know what your ego is. You've had a lot of practice doing the lessons, catching your ego at its shenanigans. You know. So we're going to somewhat speed through that, you know, for us. We're going to relatively speed through that. But it'll set us up nicely for the huge gift that is poised for us. The method that's blocking us the most, the tool of the ego and separation, how separation is kept in place, we'll get to look at nicely. So with that, let's jump in on page 472 in the text. 472 in the text. And since Jacqueline brought it up, Jacqueline, would you read for us paragraph 5?
Okay. Both reason and the ego will tell you this, but what they make of it is not the same. The ego will assure you now that it is impossible for you to see no guilt in anyone. And if this scene is the only means by which escape from guilt can be attained, then the belief in sin must be eternal. Yet reason looks on this another way, for reason sees the source of an idea as what will make it either true or false. This must be so, if the idea is like its source. Therefore, says reason, if escape from guilt was given to the Holy Spirit as his purpose, and by one to whom nothing he wills can be impossible, the means for its attainment are more than possible. They must be there, and you must have them.
Thank you, Jacqueline. We didn't touch any of that last week. But I do want to point out one thing in that paragraph before we move on. Do you see the circle? Do you see the circle? Look how it says, paragraph 5, sentence 4. Yet reason looks on this another way, for reason sees the source. Reason sees the source of an idea as what will make it either true or false. The ego waits for the results, for the effect, to tell you if an idea is true or false. Reason sees the source as whether the idea is true or false. Do you see the circle? Do you see that as you give, you receive? As the source produces, you receive what the source produces. See the circle. This is so important because an essential nature of love and a holy relationship is to look at cause, not effect. For you to be a teacher of God, you would have to look at a holy source for everything. Everything. This is how it gets translated by your Holy Spirit. An unholy source, in other words, the ego, sees attack as a source, sees loss as a source, sees unfairness as a source. It sees evil. It sees a power opposing God. And it sees that source and it finds a support for it. Welcome to the world. Sickness, in A Course in Miracles, goes all the way up the chain, the ladder. I like Ross using ladder so much last week. There's also a ladder of the ego that you get led down. Course in Miracles just calls it sickness, the whole thing. Anything that leads to an idea of loss, an idea of vulnerability, page one, introduction. Nothing real can be threatened, and nothing unreal exists. That's the beginning of sickness, is that there is something that can be threatened. If you love that idea, you can write your own Course in Miracles. Wait a minute. Oh, let's get it. Nothing real can be threatened. And of course, nothing unreal does exist because it's unreal. So it doesn't actually exist. I exist. I'm real. I can't be threatened. Fear is said to be the opposite of love, but what is all-encompassing can have no opposite. It's all right there in those few words in the introduction, the all-pervasive nature of love. To this sentence point, look at the source. To the point of a holy relationship, look at the source. Don't get fixated on the effects of somebody yelling at you with four-letter words with your name interspersed. This would be far down the ladder of the ego into crime and punishment and guilt and punishment and deserving of attack and defense. You're way in there. You're way in there. Of course. Welcome to the world. But if you're going to free yourself, if you're going to follow A Course in Miracles, if you're actually going to understand why it says more than any other phrase in the entire book, you're not a body, you are free, and you are still as God created you, then you're certainly going to have to open your mind to what you actually are. Paragraph 5, sentence 4. Reason looks on this another way. For reason sees the source of an idea as what will make it either true or false. Wow, what a gift. What a gift of sanity. This is a way for you to recontextualize any situation. Go back to the source of what's actually happening. And if you don't like what you found, you haven't gone all the way to the source. If you don't like what you found, you haven't gone all the way to the true source. Anybody make sense of that sentence I just said? Yes, Jacqueline.
Good question. Is source and cause the same here, interchangeable? Go back to
yes.
Okay, because that's what I was thinking. I heard it that way.
Yes. There's only one true cause, and that's why I say you'll be happy when you get there. Thank you, Jacqueline. The ego says there's all sorts of causes. That's because the ego is into separate specifics with names and visible things that you can analyze and label. Remember, what we're really doing here is also encapsulated in Miracle Principle 17, Let's go there real quick just to remind you how deep this rabbit hole goes. And because it's been a while since Mark's been in my meetings, I want to remind him that this is a lot. You know, you just can't overlook some of these miracle principles. But page 4, in the front of the book, Miracle Principle 17. You just can't skip some of these things. They'll help you to open your mind to the level of discussion that makes all these crazy words make sense. 17. Luann, would you read that for us? Number 17.
Miracles transcend the body. They are sudden shifts into invisibility away from the bodily level. That is why they heal.
Why do they heal?
A shift in invisibility.
Whoa. Dude.
Into invisibility, I mean.
Truly. The sickness is not something visible. The solution is not something visible. This is a spiritual book. This is a spiritual pathway. This is not a way to make the world better. The world does. You get along with the world a lot better when you become peaceful. So it does have that effect, but by no means is that the goal. So, okay, back to page 472. Really powerful sentence. It's a really powerful sentence. Okay. We good with that paragraph? Ready to move on? Okay. Ross, I'll get your mute. Would you give us now paragraph 6? I'm going to quiet that dog. Okay.
This is a crucial period in this course. For here, the separation of you and the ego must be made complete. For if you have the means to let the Holy Spirit's purpose be accomplished, they can be used. And through their use, will you gain faith in them. Yet to the ego, this
hold on a second. Hold on a second. Jacqueline? It's paragraph 4 last week, wasn't it?
No, 5 was last week.
Was it 5 last week?
Well, we read 4 because the 5 began with both reason ego will tell you this. And we read some of 4. We read 4 so that we knew what that first sentence in 5 meant.
Right.
So 5 was our paragraph last week.
Okay. Okay, Ross, I'm sorry. Go ahead. Restart again.
Start it over.
Yeah.
This is a crucial period in this course. For here, the separation of you and the ego must be made complete. For if you have the means to let the Holy Spirit's purpose be accomplished, they can be used. And through their use will you gain faith in them. Yet to the ego, this must be impossible. And no one undertakes to do what holds no hope of ever being done. You know what your creator wills is possible, but what you made believes it is not so. Now must you choose between yourself and an illusion of yourself, not both, but one. There is no point in trying to avoid this one decision. It must be made. Faith and belief can fall to either side, but reason tells you misery lies only on one side and joy upon the other.
Exactly. Thank you, Ross. Whew. Okay. So this is a crucial period in this course. For here, the separation of you and the ego must be made complete. What that means is that you would have an awakening. You would have an awakening. you would have some sense of arrival that you are not your ego. You may have a lot of habits of ego. You may still continue to do ego things because you are so addicted to your drug, body, the world, your children, your pets, your dreams, your music, your inventions, all that stuff. None of that's a sin, none of that's a problem. But you being your ego, that's a problem. You're blocking love from you. Luann.
That is such a relief for you to say that last bit, because I've always thought I haven't made it as long as I'm using my ego at all.
Your ego's not evil. Your ego's not a sin. There is no sin. Your ego is a belief system that you can operate as a separate character. That's not a sin. It's just a dream. Ross.
I remember Eckhart Tolle in one of his lectures saying that all the teachings are like signposts. The signposts take you right up to the edge of the cliff, but then you have to make the decision to jump. Otherwise, you're just collecting a bunch of signposts and putting them in your yard or whatever.
I liked it.
What it's saying here is, hey, you know, either fish or cut bait. Which one are you going to do? This is a crucial period. You've read 22 chapters now, you know, and I'm talking to myself kind of. It's like, what are you going to do? Are you going to go for misery or are you going to go for joy? It's time to, you know, it's really one of those things where it's like, well, okay, maybe I'm 80%. Gosh, I got to just get rid of that other 20% and jump off the cliff into whatever it is.
But it sounds like the 20% is not what you're doing. It's what you're believing.
So
yeah, there's no doing. The doing is illusion.
So now we come to what you might call knowledge. It's a different type of it's awareness rather than consciousness.
Mm-hmm.
It's very, very personal. That's why I like Ross's analogy. You know, all these signposts and everything, these helpfuls and of course miracles lessons and everything. But eventually, you have to put down, you know, everything. You know, your idea of God and everything is right and wrong, and put down the Course in Miracles itself. And discover whether what's true for you. It's very personal. That's why I like to make the distinction between consciousness and awareness. Awareness is very, very personal. You can't share awareness. You can share consciousness. You know, you can describe things and all that. That's the beginning of the separation, by the way. Consciousness. Boy, I love the way the Course calls that out. It's to be the level of perception and consciousness and the ego. But awareness, very personal. In fact, it's the door to impersonal. It's the door to the non-separate self. Look at, hold your finger here and jump right back to the same page. To page 3. And look at Miracle Principle 8. No, 7. Miracle Principle 7. It's a short one. It's a short one. You could just read past it and keep going and look for more words to fill in the gaps, and maybe you'll feel better about what you're studying because there are more words. 7's kind of short. It's a short, like, fine print in a contract. You're like, maybe I don't have to pay too much attention to that. Oh, my God. Albert, would you read for us Miracle Principle 7?
Miracles are everyone's right, but purification is necessary first.
I love the first part of that miracle, that principle. Miracles are everyone's right. Yeah, that means me. I'm everyone. I'm one of everyone. I get them too. Excellent. But the second half, there's a but. But even though miracles are your right, even though there's that good news, fine print, fact, purification is necessary first. Oh, wet blanket.
Okay, so what is purification?
That's what I was just about to ask you.
Don't ask me, because I don't know. I could guess, but
Albert, what's purification?
What's that?
Yeah, what's purification? What do you think that means? You've been studying this thing for years now.
Yes, I have.
Let's see what you got.
Purification is realizing the truth.
Yeah, baby.
As long as you're believing what's not true, you're not going to come to any miracle.
That
you're believing in the dream, and all the dream is real to you.
Yes, you're still taking the drug. That's impurification. That's not purified. If you're still in the bar drinking and saying, "Well, I'm just having one more," I'm not an alcoholic. I just drink a little every day here before I go to sleep, and then when I get up, people say I don't smoke. You know, 2-3 cigarettes. I don't smoke. 2-3 a day. That's it. Yeah, purification, you know?
Andrew.
Yes. Kenny.
So when I'm trying to figure out a project, so I'm in the world, you know, I got my hammer and all the tools and everything. So when my mind stops thinking about the project and I got a breath, then that might be purification from what's going on the outside.
You've accessed the spirit of the project.
Yeah.
When you're working the details or worrying about the outcome, you're blocked from the spirit of the project when you stop and take a breath. Mm-hmm. You're right. You're available to the non-specifics. You're available to the invisible qualities of the project, which is probably what the whole thing is about.
Yeah. Uh-huh. We're trying to find love.
Yes. Yeah.
Yeah.
That's why Buddhism says you need to let go of attachment, man. Basic problem. Yeah. Attachment to that specific outcome of the project.
Yeah.
Take a breath. Get still. Get present with the project and the purpose of it. And then you are free now. You really can't lose. The project can't go wrong if you are involved in the spirit of it. That's why a holy relationship can be successful and an unholy relationship cannot. Because you take a breath, like Kenny's describing, and you go to what's invisible about the relationship. These are the kind of things you really want to keep. And you can keep. Content over form. You want the qualities of love. Don't try to say, I want the form of love. I want the contents of love. Contents of happiness. If you go to a specific form of happiness, now you're in competition with the world. Declan.
Do we have time to take just a few minutes, 5 minutes to just go inside and take this sentence? Now you must choose between yourself and an illusion of yourself. Can we do that? I just feel like that's so important there. And it would be, you know, you talk about get present, take a breath.
Yes.
So maybe we could do that with that.
Thank you, Jacqueline. Thank you for calling for that. Let's do that. Perfect.
Are you going to guide us at all?
Yes, I will.
Thank you.
Now's the time that you must choose between yourself which is looking. And the illusion of yourself, which is what you've already known. Now is the time to choose between your true self, which is looking, and the illusion of yourself, which in this world you have found. Now is the time to come inward to yourself. You're already there. You have never left. You cannot leave you. You who are looking. The illusion of yourself is visible in this world. And not real. You who are looking are real. You must become comfortable that you are invisible. You are spirit, forever a keeper of God's joy and happiness. But you are you, not what you see. You are you. And at this point, you are you who is seeking, not what you could ever find. You must now make a very, very personal choice. Do you want to know what you have been denying? Because it is the truth. You are the thing you seek. If you can accept this awareness, then you have made a journey back home to spirit. You travel all the way around the circle back to the source of your dream. Your sense of you is real, but it's not what you have made. It's what you've been created as. The true you. Welcome home to this very present moment outside of time. Miracles transcend the body. There are sudden shifts into invisibility, perhaps where you are now. That is why they heal. That is where you really are. Are you light? Are you spirit? Can you accept that? Are you the extension into being of happiness and joy? Can you accept that? Let your heart be lifted, for this is the light of understanding. If you find freedom in these words, in this moment, this is the lightness of being, of understanding that you are you, and it is free. You are not the thing in the mirror. You may enjoy that thing in the mirror. But it should never control you again. Never again. You are free. You are you. You are not what you have made. Amen. When you're ready, please open your eyes. Thank you, Jacqueline.
Thank you, Jacqueline.
Anytime, Jacqueline now is responsible for calling us out when things like that need to be done. And so is Deborah. Yeah, Albert?
That's just an interesting statement there, how powerful that is. You are not who you see in the mirror. What an amazing statement that is to think about.
Yes, sir.
And what I see in the mirror is what the ego looks is controlling often, but it's not what I am.
Yeah.
That makes me feel so good because, you know, Andrew, I've always said all I want to do is love.
Yeah.
And when I think about what I am, which is the joy of only loving, as far as I can tell, which is ego for me, I mean, which is spirit for me, it just makes me feel like I'm already doing what I've always wanted to do.
You're just there. Actually never left love, but you thought you did.
I thought I did.
You thought you did, my dear. You've been home the whole time. Everybody turn to page 257, paragraph 17. We're going to celebrate with Luanne. She's having a little light moment right now. We're going to go with her. Go to text page 257. The course is just going to point it out. The truth in just one sentence. He says, I mean, he writes a whole book around this sentence. But hey, here it is. 257, paragraph 17. And just, it's a great paragraph, but we got to fast forward to just sentence six. Sentence six says, Luanne, this is God speaking. You dwell not here, but in eternity. Number seven, you travel, but in dreams, while safe at home.
Yeah.
You must be love. You must be spirit. You must be invisible. You must be eternal. You must be loved by the source of everything. If you are the you, on page 257, paragraph 17, sentence 6 and 7. This is Jesus pointing out the truth of you. What's the truth? You dwell not here. This is, by the way, that sentence is perfect iambic pentameter. Counts out nice. I mean, thank you, Jesus. You dwell not here, but in eternity.
Yeah.
You dwell. You do dwell. You do. You exist. You are. But not here. Where? In eternity. which means there is no time. And you do. You're traveling in relativity. Obviously. But you do it in dreams. While the you that the Course knows you really are, and that Jacqueline had us refer to a moment ago in a meditation, that you is safe at home in God forever. Truly good news. Thank you, Luann. And so having read those two sentences and having us looked at the truth that is being called out for us, which is you are not as you appear in the mirror. This is the truth. You are the spirit. You are the one who seems to be seeking. Remember what we've been studying. Just turn back. Go back to 472 and put your finger there, and then turn back to that sentence that we need to keep referring to on page 461, I think, 463. 463 in the text. Eventually we'll stop going back here, but apparently not yet. 463, those italics. Remember this? We studied this for weeks, this one paragraph. Bunch of softball. Huh? You got it?
Yeah.
463, chapter 21. Bunch of softball questions about your desire to be happy. Yes, I don't want to be a victim. Yes, I don't want to be helpless. You bet. I don't want any enemies or sin, and I just want love in every direction. And then he clears his throat. And do I want to see what I denied? Because it is the truth.
And without that, you're going to have all the rest of that stuff the way you don't want.
Whoa. Let me remind you that we just read the truth, which is you dwell not here, but in eternity. You travel, but in dreams, while safe at home. This is what you have been denied, and this is the truth. How can it be the truth? Because your spirit, not what you see in the mirror. That's the miracle. You have to shift your identity. You have to go from knowing that you're a body to knowing you're not. You're going to need a miracle for that. But Jacqueline invited us to go right to the miracle by separating ourself from our illusion of ourself. You guys know exactly what the illusion of yourself is. Keep your finger on page 472. Just because it came up tonight so many times, I want to have you go and take a look at a short sentence in the workbook. And it's on page, workbook page 459. Workbook page 459. It's going to be lesson 318 when you get there. Lesson 318, workbook page 459. You need to see this short little sentence. You see, the Course is teaching the same thing over and over again, but it has to do it in ways that it can get past the barriers that you've built and all the different beliefs we have. It's an amazing that this one book can come at so, oh, look at, you know, the dozen of us here, nine of us anyway, it can reach all of us, this one book, even though we each have different stories of difficulties and beliefs and stumbling blocks and more or less. But by the time you get into the workbook, now you've gone a full 1,000 pages into this book. In me, salvation's means and are one. Man, you should be singing that by the time you get there, right? If you're really doing the workbook lessons, you get to 318, and this is something that just your heart might be jumping at that. So, Deborah, I got your mute. Would you read for us lesson 318?
In me, salvation's means and end are one. In me, God's holy Son are reconciled all parts of heaven's plan to save the world. What could conflict when all the parts but one purpose and one aim? When all the parts have but one purpose and one aim? How could there be a single part that stands alone, or one of more or less importance than the rest?
Read that sentence again, that very one.
How could there be a single part that stands alone, or one of more or less importance than the rest?
That means separation. How could something be pinched off from the whole? Please continue.
I am the means by which God's Son is saved, because salvation's purpose is to find the sinlessness that God has planned in me, placed in me. I'm going to read that again.
Sure.
I am the means by which God's Son is saved, because salvation's purpose is to find the sinlessness that God has placed in me. I was created as the thing I seek.
Read that one again.
Yeah, I have that underlined. I was created as the thing I seek. I am
created? Did you say created? Deborah, what does created mean in this book? What does it mean to you?
Yeah. It feels like the I am. It feels like the is, the essence.
Yeah. 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 That's the quality of creation. It's right here in black and white in a very short sentence. Probably why you underlined it.
Yeah, I'm always telling myself all these other stories. And so, yes.
And for the... Yeah, and for the one in the mirror with the social security number, all those stories are just rampant. It doesn't change what you are. It doesn't change your essence.
It just blocks the awareness.
It does, nicely, sometimes. Yeah.
It's almost like, how could you get upset if what you really are is that spirit that we're talking about?
Right.
If you choose to be the thing you are, you can't get upset.
Right.
If you choose to go back to the bar, go take your drug of the ego, where things are unfair and difficult, then you can be very upset.
So it's a choice, definitely.
It is a choice. It's very personal. It's you're following all Ross's signs, but are you willing to jump off the cliff so that you can receive the gift of A Course in Miracles? Maybe in Ross's analogy, it's weightlessness for a moment.
You know, while we were meditating, all the words around what I was thinking were in black, and then love, the choice of love, joy, and all that stuff as me was in white.
Nice. I like that. I like that imagery. Beautiful. You're separating yourself, which is the stuff in white, from your ego, which is the stuff in black.
Right.
Good. I like that contrast. That's what you must do. Must. The word must is a four-letter word. But it also means, it's no kidding. Well, the Course has these imperatives throughout the book. When it says must, I usually stop and I meditate on that sentence. I'm like, whoa, it's a command. Mm. It's also telling me if something didn't go right, here's why. Because I skipped that sentence. You must. Yeah. Okay, so I stopped Deborah from her reading because she hit this all-important critical sentence. Jason, we're now on lesson 318 in the workbook, which is page 459. I stopped her because we came to a metaphysical imperative. I stopped her because we came to a challenge for you to receive the message of A Course in Miracles, to receive the truth of creation. It's so personal. Do you see the circle in that single little sentence? I was created as the thing I seek. Did you know that's also in iambic pentameter? You bet it is. This is a message of love to love. This is a circle of atonement in a sentence. I was created as the thing I seek. Michaeleen, I got your mute. Hang on a second. Go for it.
Just that one of the things that I used to say is love created me like itself.
That a girl.
Mm.
I love that lesson.
Yeah.
That's one of the workbook lessons.
Yeah.
Absolutely. Absolutely same message. Thank you. Beautiful, beautiful, beautiful. So beautiful. Okay, Deborah, would you finish off for us? Then we're going to go back to work.
I am the goal the world is searching for.
Wait. You are?
And you are.
And I am? The world is searching, isn't it? Putin is searching for something. The murderers, all these mass murderers, they're searching for something, even in their insanity. You personally, the last time you had an argument with somebody and you swore, you actually, in the presence of another person, maybe somebody you said you loved, maybe, but at least thought you, very friendly, you raised your voice. That happened some point in your life, if not this week. You're searching, and the world is searching for something. They're searching for that very circle of atonement. They're searching for that light in the darkness. They're searching for what you are in truth, not what you have made of yourself. Please continue.
I am God's son, his one eternal love. I am salvation's means and end as well.
Please continue.
Let me today, my Father, take the role you offer me in your request that I accept atonement for myself. For this does what is thereby reconciled in me become as surely reconciled to you.
Do you see the circle again? How powerful your thoughts, how powerful your mind, how important is your part in God's plan for salvation? How important is your cooperation for the atonement, for saving the world, in fact? It's right there. It says, for thus does what is thereby reconciled in me, watch the circle form, become as surely reconciled in you, God, being, truth, oneness. You know, there's another lesson that's clever. clever. It says, I can escape from the world I see by escaping attack thoughts. How could you escape attack thoughts? You would have to stop attacking and thinking attack was successful, and you'd have to derive a whole Course in Miracles and have the miracle of freedom that attack doesn't work and it's useless. Just another wild example of how this book draws these circles with you as the start and the finish. It's full of them. The book is beautifully consistent that way. Okay, let's get back to page 472. Thank you for that detour. 472. We're focusing on that sentence 6. Now you must choose of paragraph 6. Now you must choose Jason, 472 in the text. Paragraph 6. Now must you choose between yourself and an illusion of yourself. And then in a short sentence, not both, but one. You know, he says that elsewhere. See that sentence? Short sentence, right? Not both, but one. I'll remind you. He says in chapter 14, he says, the truth is true, comma, and nothing else is true. Mm-hmm. You're like, duh, the truth is true. He says, I know, you got that, but you don't know this. Nothing else is true. Nothing else but the truth is true. You see, because as an ego with your favorite things of the world, your favorite pet thoughts, your favorite things that you hate. I didn't say love, hate. Your favorite things to hate. You actually love to hate them. You know what I'm talking about. It's so fun and juicy, right? These things aren't true. They don't offer happiness, and they're a drug that you must learn to put down. So the truth is true, nothing else is true. And you have to get up these illusions of yourself, the one, and understand that you are spirit, you are invisible. You are as God created you, not as you made.
I'm lost. What page are we on?
Now we're on page 472 in the text. The front of the book, 472.
And that's paragraph 6?
Paragraph 6. Sentence 6.
Okay.
Now you must choose between yourself and an illusion of yourself, not both but one. There's no point in trying to avoid this one decision. I mean, whoa, he just hit the nail again with the hammer. He says, don't skip this. Don't skip this, is what he said.
Jacqueline, would you mind turning off whatever that noise is? When you talk...
She's muted.
She is?
So it's not... I'm going to mute Michaeline. Yeah, it might be Michaeline.
I meant Michaeline. I'm sorry.
Oh. Thank you, Michaeline.
Thank you.
Okay, good. It's probably the L.A. freeway. She's in Los Angeles!
It's my fan.
Oh, we have to be around our fans. If you're near Hollywood, you have to have your fans close by. Yeah. Okay. Now look how Jesus uses the four-letter word must a couple of times. That's why I say it calls for meditation. Now must you choose between yourself and illusion yourself, not both but one. There is no point in trying to avoid this one decision. It must be made. Yeah. Thank you, Jacqueline, for having us make that. Faith and belief can fall to either side, but reason tells you misery lies on one side and joy on the other. Okay, so I think that's, even though it's a wonderful discovery that we've just made, I think we all know that, we know that that's what we're here to do. The ego is a false self. I think we know that. Now, let's try to swallow the pill. This is a little harder now, what we're about to do next. This is a little harder. That's all very joyful, and I think it was very nice. I'm really glad Jacqueline called us out for a moment to really soak that in. But here comes, folks, paragraph 7. I think we're going to have... Jason, you want to read that for us?
Jason, could you read it kind of loud? Sometimes I have a hard time hearing you.
Okay, forsake. Not now, your brother. For you who are the same will not decide alone, nor differently. Either you give each other life or death. Either you are each other's savior or his judge, offering him sanctuary or condemnation. This course will be believed entirely or not at all. For it is wholly true or wholly false, and cannot be but partially believed. And you will either escape from misery entirely or not at all. Reason will tell you that there is no middle ground where you can pause uncertainly, waiting to choose between the joy of heaven and the misery of hell. Until you choose heaven, you are in hell and misery.
There you go. Kind of harsh, huh?
But so truthful.
But, you know, if you're talking to an addict who's, you know, maybe busy, doing heroin or something, so I wish I could stop this heroin. Is it okay if I just do it like once or twice a day? Oh, no. How about attack thoughts where you really feel like hurting somebody else and you want to be peaceful and loving? You're taking the drug. Mark, I got your mute. Go for it.
I'm an addict of sensation and experiences.
Yes.
I'm one of comfort.
Luann is one of comfort. Mark says comfort's not really that important. As long as I can have a sensation and an experience that meets my definition, comfort's not that important. You bet. I would like to propose, my experience is that everybody here is an addict. It's part of the mind is to focus on and to pursue something, anything. We're all different. Maybe somebody here is might be musically inclined, and you find yourself a bit addicted to nailing the music. Somebody else here, I happen to know, one of us here is an accomplished artist, and you know that can be consuming, even to relationships, because it's just more important. And another one of us here is pursuing writing. And writing is very personal. And sometimes you get these wonderful explosions of creation that happen. You don't know from where. Wow, that's good stuff. None of that is a sin. None of that is bad. In fact, it's natural. It's natural. Here's the only, and I'm going for an imperative here. Only. The only problem that you can face is what you are, not what you do. Nothing of form matters at all. But what you think you are, this is what matters. You see, because in your pursuit for experiences or for perfect music, or your pursuit for making the perfect cake, or your pursuit of creation or making or enjoying or families or dogs or life, if you are in this world both and of this world, then this world will carve out for you your joy and pleasure. And in my estimation so far, it's going to bite back. You can pet it, it will bite you eventually. This is the world I've come to know. Some of you guys are older than me. Maybe you've found a better way. Maybe you're in this meeting for the same reason I am. It's nothing in this world is evil. Nothing in this world is harmful. Nothing. Except your fixation that you are an ego, that your identity is here. Now that's a problem. There's no problem with addiction. It's kind of helpful. Great musicians are addicted and it really works. Mother Teresa was addicted. I mean, she met every definition of addiction as she went out and helped people till she, without sleeping. She said it brought her so much love. No, it's not what you do. It's what you think. Just what you, and it's not anything. It's only what you think you are. Now that we have to work on. You can be a lonely hermit in the middle of the desert, and all you want to do is pluck needles off a cactus, and you've set up your whole life so that's what you do. Who cares? You've denied family. You don't pay taxes. You just go out there and do fine. Who cares? But what's going to matter to you is for you to stop denying the truth of what you actually are. You see, we read it. You were created as the very thing you seek. You will not find it in plucking needles off cactus. You do not find it in the world of experiences. You can enjoy the world of experiences. You can enjoy fine music and great music or horrible music. But you will not find the happiness of yourself, of the true happiness. You will not find the truth until you surrender on this one specific point. That's why the word must is used over and over. You must be able to let go of this fantasy of physical form being what you are. How do you do it? You just get present. When do you do it? In an interval that is out of time. It's an out-of-pattern time interval. Well, it has to be. Because time is in the hands of the ego as you experience it. But it's in the hands of Jesus if you'll listen. The gift is offered you with these particular keys of thinking. Stepping out of time, getting super present. I will step back, let him lead the way now. So, okay, yeah, we can't miss this paragraph. Please bring any questions. This is a really important paragraph. But so, any thoughts that pop up while we're reading this? Okay, so here, folks, is the challenge that A Course in Miracles puts up in front of you, in your face, and what it is you can't separate your self from your brother. You can't have another out there. Let me remind you of a short sentence in the book. It says, your brother is always right, comma, but his ego is always wrong. Does that help? Does that help reconcile the assholy ones in your life that just you can't reconcile? Those ones. The Course says they're always wrong, and they are always wrong. Their ego is always wrong. I got news for you. So is yours. So is yours. But what we're talking about is an elevated self. Okay, page 472. Paragraph 7, forsake not now your brother, for you, that means you too, who are the same, will not decide alone nor differently. Because you're spirit, right? Either you give each other life or death, either you are each other's savior or his judge, offering him sanctuary or condemnation. Hold your finger here. We need to go to page 142 and do a quick read of paragraph 4 so you can see that this theme is throughout the book and he means what he says. 142 front of the book. There's not much book there when you get there. It's like half an inch. Paragraph 4, and I think we've made it back to Jacqueline. So I'm going to unmute Jacqueline and my left hand. It's a lot harder than it looks. Got it. Okay, Jacqueline, read us paragraph 4, please, on page 142, chapter 8.
When you meet anyone, remember it is a holy encounter. As you see him, you will see yourself. As you treat him, you will treat yourself. As you think of him, you will think of yourself. Never forget this, for in him you will find yourself or lose yourself. Whenever two sons of God meet, they are given another chance at salvation. Do not leave anyone without giving salvation to him and receiving it yourself. For I am always there with you in remembrance of you.
What a blessing. What an invitation into the holy relationship that the book focuses on. Wow. Okay, we're running short on time, so I'm going to speed us through a bit. Jump back to page 472, where we just were. Okay, you got that. Now we're on sentence 4. This course will be believed entirely or not at all. That's starting to make sense. With some of the harsh teachings we have in this book, like, I'm not a body, I'm free, still as God created me. Is there any halfway on that? Can we go halfway? Can you kind of be a body? Don't think so. I'm telling you, the biggest problem you have approaching this book is you know something already. That's not true, but you know it already. That's the problem, is you know it already. You need a miracle, a shift in perception, so you can start letting go of your stinking thinking, your contraction, your small thinking. That's forgiveness. And then the holy instant shows up, and that's your reward. But you guys know that. Sentence 6. And you will either escape from misery entirely. Here's the bad news. Or not at all. Well, you know, these are such big statements that are being made right here. I think we need to push it, to push the meeting a bit in detail. Look at, go to, hang on a second. I think page 127 in the text. 127, paragraph 1. I'll just show you where this comes up early in the book. And it's like, what? Is this going to change my life? Is my life going to change doing A Course in Miracles? Okay. 127, paragraph 1. We got to read this paragraph. Albert, would you unmute yourself and read paragraph 1 on text page 127? And look at the title.
The totality of the kingdom. Whenever you deny a blessing to a brother, you will feel deprived.
You will feel deprived. You don't get away with it. Mm-hmm. Look how it's in italics. Please continue.
You will feel deprived because denial is as total as love. It is as impossible to deny part of the sonship as it is to love it in part. Nor is it possible to love it totally at times. You cannot be totally committed sometimes.
I think we need a t-shirt. We need t-shirts with that phrase. You can't be totally committed for sometimes.
Denial has no power. Denial has no power in itself, but you can give it the power of your mind, whose power is without limit. If you use it to deny reality, reality is gone for you. Reality cannot be partly appreciated. That is why denying any part of it means you have lost the awareness of all of it. Yet denial is a defense, and so it is capable of being used positively as well as negatively.
You see that with the Holy Spirit in charge, you can even use denial, and you will, and you must. The Holy Spirit can use denial so you can deny that you are a body, right? You can let it go for not being true. Please continue.
Used negatively, it will be destructive because it will be used for attack. But in the service of the Holy Spirit, it can help you recognize part of reality and thus appreciate all of it. Mind is too powerful to be subject to exclusion. You will never be able to exclude yourself from your thoughts.
That's kind of good news and bad news. That's why it's an all or nothing game. Mind is way too powerful. You can't partition off part of your mind and just say, well, I'm not going to think about how much I hate that person. I really hate him, but I'm just not going to think about it so that I can be loving. No, it doesn't work that way. Mind's way too powerful. Yeah. Okay, we only have two more minutes. So run back to page 473 real quick. You will either escape from misery entirely or not at all. Reason will tell you that there's no middle ground where you can pursue uncertainly, waiting to choose between the joy of heaven and the misery of hell. Remember, workbook lesson, there are no neutral thoughts. Thank you for that lesson, Jesus. You sober up when you realize, as hard as you try, if you're thinking at all, it's either going down into darkness or up into light, because you are living. There's no still. There's no zero. There's no neutral thoughts. You're either loving or you're fearing. Until you choose heaven, well, you are in hell and misery. There's no neutral. Okay, so that's harsh, I would say, what we just studied tonight. But I think everybody here accepts it is simple. It is simple. You see, there's no degrees. And I love how Luann was taking us to the presence of love that she's always wanted, being there all the time. Even with the difficulties of life, if you allow the lightness of being to have a little corner of your mind all the time, then you can find in any given moment your true self. Even in the horrible moments, your true self is actually there because of what you actually are. Okay, everybody. Thank you for studying A Course in Miracles with me. Thank you. Good to see you, Mark. Let's do it again next week. Thanks, Michaeline. Good to see you.
Thank you, Andrew. Nice. Andrew, what page is You Dwell in Eternity on?
Page 257 in the text.